Welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm sleep deprived. I'm sick. I'm embarking on a day that it will not end from now until about 1 a.m.
If you're lucky.
And yet I am a child on Christmas morning who knows Santa's bringing me my bike, baby. Let's go. Let's go. I love these days.
Oh, boy. Big day for Joe Rex Road. Big day for all of us today. I guess the tournament officially is already underway, but the official beginning in my mind of the tournament today. This is the tournament today.
Yes, yes. And the first game is right here, Michigan State, Mississippi State, the battle for MSU. And
Izzo was pumped in the pre-show meeting this morning. I got to say, he was ready to go.
I don't know if you saw, but I got Izzo in trouble yesterday with like the entire like college basketball media.
Oh, I saw.
And oh, God, amazing. I asked him about Greg Sankey's dumb crap. And, you know, I'm like, I expected him to just come right out and dunk on Greg Sankey, and he didn't. And he said some stuff, which is an Izzo thing, where he just kind of rambles, and it's like, blah, 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 what are you saying? What? And then, I had to get him back on the phone to clarify. So he was very, it seems like old times, just, be pissed off at me, and people be pissed off at him because of something I wrote. It's amazing.
Did you use your hands?
Right back in there.
Did I use my hands? Yeah. I used my hands to, like I said, I had to go get a burner phone so he'd answer the call.
Well, he showed up for the pre-show meeting this morning, so he's not that mad. That's good. It's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, he was. I could tell he's a little distracted in the pre-show meeting today. You know, I guess I get it because they probably aren't going to beat Mississippi State. When he's looking at film of that matchup, probably doesn't like it. But I appreciate him still showing up.
Yep, for sure. Nick Keezer, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Can't complain. Going through my first process of looking at new vehicles. So
oh, boy.
That. Yeah.
There you go.
Fun times, right?
Yeah, always yeah. Good stuff there.
Yeah.
Joe, the Vols in action tonight. So the tournament is underway. It's going to be a fun day watching basketball today. Vols late one tonight, as you're well aware, in Charlotte, where you'll be live for Tennessee and St. Peter's later this evening. And the journey for Rick Barnes and this team begins. And, Joe, it's been such a fun year. They win the SEC regular season title. And now there's, I think, an immense amount of pressure on the Vols heading into this thing to perform and produce. And we've talked about that this week, but that journey begins tonight. And as good of a team this has been and as fun as it's been to watch, and we've talked about this before, like Tennessee does not have like this rich history of men's basketball excellence. And I think there's two different conversations when it comes to, especially the Rick Barnes part of this. Like, it's been great what he's accomplished this year and another – title to brag about. He's won the tournament before. Now he's won the SEC regular season outright. But if you get through the NCAA tournament and you don't perform, at the end of the day, that's going to be what the conversation about this team is about. So that pressure begins today for Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. You raise expectations, you raise a standard, and you have seasons like this, and then it's, of course, expectations are going to be high. I think people a little bit overstate his struggles at Tennessee in the tournament just because they came with him from Texas, right? I mean, actually, yeah. With Providence and Clemson, he did some things that wouldn't have been expected at both of those places. But Texas, he had some ridiculous teams. He had the Kevin Durant team. I mean, DJ Augustine, he had all kinds of great players. He got to one Final Four with TJ Ford at point guard. So, two Sweet 16s at Tennessee, that's nothing to sneeze at, especially last year without your point guard and you beat Duke. But this team is the best team he's had. This is the best chance he's had. To me, this is the best chance he's had. You know, really, the Durant team wasn't a great team. He was great. We could all see he was going to go right to the NBA, be amazing. But, I mean, I could argue this is his best team, best chance since the TJ Ford team of 2003, which did make a Final Four. And I think you could also argue that this is the best team Tennessee has ever had with a chance. You know, the funny thing about the Barnes March thing, and I mentioned this on a rigged edition of Jared versus Joe yesterday that Jared won with Chase judging. You know, it's like the Barnes thing, totally fair. I mean, he's underperformed quite a bit compared to regular season performance. But, you know, you look at Tennessee's history of coaches, Ray Mears, a lot of people would say he's the best coach they've had. And he had those two incredible teams, Ernie and Bernie, in the 70s, back-to-back years. They didn't win one NCAA game.
Right.
They did not win one NCAA game. They lost in the first game both times, which is crazy. You're talking about two great players, two great, and especially Bernard King, great NBA players. So I'm just rambling on and on, but the pressure is very high for Tennessee. And, you know, today they just need to take care of business and not let this get – I really don't think this is going to be that interesting a game.
Well, for Tennessee, they better hope it's not. I mean, don't let it get interesting and take care of business, get back to playing good basketball, especially on the defensive side of things. And then I mean, they've got enough offensive skill where if you take care of your business defensively, especially in this matchup, I mean, you should be fine on the other end of the floor there. And then we'll see, you know, what else happens today and whether or not we get the Rick Barnes Bowl coming up here on Saturday if Texas takes care of business against Colorado State. But it's going to be a really interesting run here for Tennessee. We've talked about it this week in terms of like the mental side of things. That to me is what I'm really interested in. If, you know, at some point here, even if they have a successful run in the tournament, like at some point you're going to face some adversity. You're going to have to overcome some things, and can they do it? And that's going to be, I think, a really interesting test because they certainly have the talent. They certainly have the experience, all those things you feel good about with Tennessee. But when the moment gets really bright and when they have to make plays in huge moments and make big shots, can they do it? And I don't know if we're going to find out the answer to that today. I mean, for Tennessee's sake, I hope not that you're not finding out that answer today. But at some point, you're going to have to overcome some things if you're going to make a deep run if you're the Vols.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And again, like last year, now it's different because they weren't expected to win. And I do think that matters. But you know, they overcame all kinds of stuff in that win over Duke, and they showed a lot of guts and fortitude. And, you know, Olivier Kamwa stepped up and said, okay, I'm just going to hit all these shots. Why, if they're going to zone us like that? And speaking of that, you know, I do think today, I think St. Peter's going to zone a lot. Yeah. I mean, they have to, right? And so, you know, these shooters, you know, Ganey, Vescovi, James in particular, those three guys, I mean, those guys have got to step. This is a free opportunity to me to get into this environment and to just step into some shots and feel it again and just play free and play basketball. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity to kind of get those guys some confidence going into what absolutely will be a tough game on Saturday, whether it's Colorado State or Texas. I like Colorado State a lot after watching them the other night.
So we got Michigan State and Mississippi State today as well. Kentucky plays today against Oakland, which you've talked about all week. NC State, Texas Tech. Obviously, you know, we're going to be paying attention to the Tennessee game tonight. But what are some of your favorite games that stand out to you today as the NCAA tournament gets underway here?
Yeah, well, I do think, you know, the Michigan State, Mississippi State game as a standalone is a very good game. I do like Mississippi State. I will say that, you know, if you let an Izzo team, you know, kind of get going a little bit, if I was North Carolina, I would rather see Mississippi State, because Michigan State on the 2-day turnaround has been the best in the history of the tournament under Izzo. And so that's where they're really dangerous. And, you know, it's still going to be a home game for North Carolina. Of course, I'm assuming North Carolina is not going to lose to Wagner. But
that'd be
but
something.
I think that's, yeah, wouldn't it be? I mean, you know, it seems like, you know, it happens. These things do happen from time to time. But that one definitely is a good early game starting out. I mean, there's a lot of good ones.
South Carolina, Oregon's intriguing, I think.
That's, to me, a total toss-up game, absolutely. Like I said, Colorado State, Texas. Look, I'm fascinated by Oakland, Kentucky. Oakland's going to play this matchup zone, and so I think they're going to do a decent job of not letting Kentucky just get to the rim. And, you know, Kentucky probably going to hit like 16 threes and be fine. But Oakland will score it, man. Oakland has scores and shooters. And so it's just a really potentially interesting game. McNeese, I think, is going to beat Gonzaga today. Will Wade. Brendan Quinn had an amazing story about Will Wade. Just basically like, oh, you know, I'm a cheater. I don't care. Say whatever you want to say. And Drake Washington State should be a good game. And look, I think Kansas is going down. I think Kansas is going down to Samford today. They're banged up, and Samford is really fun, deep team that's going to run and press and all that stuff. And Kansas has no depth.
It's going to be interesting to watch. We're going to get all into the tournament throughout today's show as well. Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. They're down in Florida tonight with a huge test against the Panthers. We'll talk to Derek McKenzie about that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are broadcasting live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. Preds down in Florida taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. So that feels like a big one. There's a big game tonight for the Predators in Florida against one of the league's best teams. Florida's been sitting there since Saturday. They've not played, so they've been sitting there waiting on the Predators to get there, practicing for 3 days. So sometimes that works out well for the team doing that, Joe. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there's a little bit of rust involved with that, as Derek McKenzie is calling in now, so he'll join us here in just a few minutes. But going to be interesting to see how the Preds respond to that tonight. Minnesota got destroyed by the LA Kings last night, 6-0 in the second half of a back-to-back. So some good stuff from the Predators on that side of things from the standings last night. And to help us talk more about the game tonight and the run that they've been on, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Derek, obviously this has been a lot of fun to watch, this 15-game run that you guys have been on. Just from your perspective, watching it all go down, what do you think's been the key to establishing the level of consistency that you guys have over this 15-game stretch?
Well, I think obviously you got to lean towards the leadership group, right? I think, we go back to that game that none of us, really wanted to be a part of, and that 9-2 loss to Dallas. And listen, if you don't have the guys in the room to kind of pull everyone in and get things back on track, I mean, I think you probably would have had a back and forth kind of rest of the season. But credit to these guys, they kind of dug in and said, you know what, that's not acceptable, and we've got better. And it's a tough league to win in. I don't know if anyone expected us to kind of go on this run we did, but those are kind of things that happen when you kind of put your foot forward and head down and kind of grind through. And it's been a lot of fun as well from the coaching staff to be a part of.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about the coaching staff, Derek. Us on the outside, obviously we watch, the season through ups and downs, and like you said, you had the Dallas game and you thought one thing about where things were going, and now you guys are on this unbelievable tear. As coaches, do you guys look at things and say, well, maybe, maybe the ceiling's higher, or you're seeing things that maybe you didn't anticipate that have gotten so good with this team?
Well, I think to that second part about, not anticipating, I mean, listen, it's a tough season. And typically, especially with some of the young guys, when the adrenaline wears off and you kind of dig into those games, 35 to 60, I mean, you really kind of start to separate, guys who have obviously been seasoned and through it, and then some young guys. I think the thing that was a little unpredictable for me is seeing some of these young guys just keep getting better. And I mean, obviously that says a lot about, the players they are and the ceiling for themselves moving forward. But, when you start to get the secondary scoring, when you start to get guys who have like gotten a second win and are playing their best hockey at this time of year, it's obviously very encouraging.
Derek, on the Yossi front, he's been a great player for a long time. So him playing at this level is not a surprise necessarily, but he's been unbelievable over this stretch and was again the other night against San Jose. Just how do you view him specifically, his role in carrying the team through this stretch here, and the Norris Trophy conversation around him, which I have to feel like he is inserting himself in with the way that he's played?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky or unlucky enough to play against him for a few years and, like, always, had a ton of respect for him. And, again, someone who can continue to do what he's done over the course of his career is truly unbelievable. I mean, you got to remember every night, this guy goes out and plays against the other team's best players and still finds a way to be as productive as he had. I think, that sometimes gets lost in translation. It's like a fastball pitcher. I mean, at some point, if you don't have another pitch, they're going to figure you out. And I mean, for him to continue to do you know, what he has done throughout his career is pretty remarkable. And to do it humbly, I mean, you just see him around the room with the guys and the kind of leader that he is. I mean, he just comes to work every day, brings that passion and that love for the game, which is great. And then, you know, listen, not getting any younger. Again, one of those guys in the conversation to see his game continue to get better this year. And the timing of his game, you know, to kind of peak where it has is super impressive given how difficult the schedule is.
During this stretch, Derek, what is the best aspect of this team's game? If you could had to pick one thing that you guys are doing the best, what would it be?
Well, I mean, you know, you listen to Andrew Burnett talk about all the time, just, you know, being relentless and bringing that compete. You know, every night. And for me, that's exactly what it's been like since the drop of the puck. And I mean, you might be able to argue last game, you know, maybe not so much. It took us a little while to get going. Andrew talked about it before the game in the dressing room, just saying, you know, it might take a little longer here to wear these guys down, given, you know, we're coming back from the West Coast and the travel and everything, but just stick to it. But they did. And for the most part, like from the time the puck drops, you know, starting with the McCarron line and then just waves after that. I mean, we've been relentless against teams. The way these guys are back checking back, you know, the comments you hear from other teams and other coaches about time and space and not having any of it and feeling like we've been on top of all night. I mean, that's, you know, kind of the way we're built, and that's the way the guys have been playing. There's energy on the bench. Guys are backing each other up. They're having some fun. Like I said, from a coaching standpoint, it's nice to just kind of sit back and enjoy the ride a little bit. These guys have really taken over and are doing a lot of great things.
So, Derek, obviously a big game tonight against one of the league's best in Florida. You're very familiar with that team and that organization and that roster. What sort of challenge will this be for your group, and what stands out to you when you watch Florida on film?
Well, I mean, you know, what stands out is obviously you look at a team that's been kind of hanging around that Stanley Cup conversation now for, you know, really 3 or 4 years. You had the Tampa Bays that kind of knocked you off, that you know, go on to win Stanley Cups, and then, you know, the President's Trophy and a second round kind of exit, and then, you know, a run all the way to the finals last year. I mean, kind of reminds me of maybe, you know, Washington a little bit back in the day, obviously when Trotsky took him to a Stanley Cup championship. So, you know, I'm looking at this game like, you know, probably this team has as good a chance as any, if not the best, of winning a Stanley Cup. So it's another great measuring stick for us. You know, on the same token, we're not going to change anything. We're just going to go into this game, approach it like any other. Sure, it's a great test. Sure, it's a great another measuring stick. But, you know, I think, you know, we've done a lot of great things, and this is going to be a great challenge. And one way or another, like Andrew says, we're just going to keep building our game and try to peak at the right time, hopefully with a playoff run.
You guys play, obviously, like they used to play when Andrew was there. Obviously, they've changed. How much have they changed in terms with the coaching change in terms of their style of play?
I mean, not a lot, I don't think. I think, you know, I still think they play with a lot of speed. I mean, listen, the way they're built, they're obviously, you know, very, you know, deep team. They've got they're a very dangerous team. They're getting great goaltending. You know, and they've added a few pieces here and there, you know, to on the back end to make them a pretty deep team back there as well. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, are still there that you know, Andrew brought. You know, on the same token, I'm sure there are some adjustments as well. I mean, really, if you look at that team starting, you know, I guess now 9 years ago or 10 years ago when I joined and Barkov being there, there's not a lot of guys left really from that generation other than Barkov and Ekblad. So a lot of turnover, but obviously, you know, a great team, great coach team, going to be a fun challenge for us tonight.
Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie with us here on Robbie and Rexro. Derek, last thing for you here. It feels like Luke Evangelista is playing great right now, and the confidence appears from the outside looking in to be really high. I mean, the goal he scored the other night was just an unreal shot. What do you make of the way that he's playing and the confidence that he has? How much of a difference do you see that making in his game right now?
Yeah, well, I think he's one of the guys that, you know, I was referencing earlier where I think, you know, any young guy, you know, kind of coming through the system the way Luke has, you know, until you've gone through it and you look like at a guy like, say, Lozon on the back end, who I think is really obviously come into his own. But took a few years to get that cadence of the schedule and to find what works for him so that, like, every night you feel like you've got that stuff. And I think, you know, Luke came in just like we talked about and was kind of living off skill a little bit, and, which is great. But, you know, when the league gets a little more difficult and players settle in and, you know, kind of, like I said, separates the men from the boys, I think Luke went through a little bit of that transition period, and hats off to him. I think, you know, now playing, probably skating the best I've seen him skate. And listen, you know, it was a work in progress. He knew there was parts of his game that he couldn't have known, you know, at the junior level or even, you know, sometimes in the minor leagues, but adjusting to the system, knowing when to go, knowing when not to go. And then when you get comfortable in the system, you can get comfortable again, you know, finding those little pockets of offense. And I think now Luke, you know, trying to play at both ends of the ice, realizing, hey, the quicker we get the puck back, the more I can have the puck at the other end. And then in between skating and working and back checking and adding all those things to his game. And he's been one of those guys that's just been fun to watch kind of grow up within the course of, you know, 60 games. And now obviously giving us, you know, that scoring punch. Great kid, great attitude, been a lot of fun to be around. And again, just happy to see him bring success at the right time of year to a team that obviously can use all those little things that he brings to the table every night.
Well, Derek, it's been a lot of fun to watch. Good luck coming up tonight against Florida. Should be a great game. And thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning.
Thanks for having us, guys. Thank you.
That's our Preds assistant coach, Derek McKenzie, our guest here on Robbie and Rec Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators. A big one coming up tonight against the Florida Panthers. It feels like a huge game. Is it? We'll get into that. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rec Show, 1025-1063, the game. The teams have been selected, so go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your bracket to compete. Tournament getting underway today. The 1025 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Appreciate Derek McKenzie, Preds assistant coach, for being with us in the last segment there. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Going for a franchise record tonight. They've tied it at 15 games in a row with a point. They're going for 16 tonight against Florida Panthers, one of the toughest teams to play in the league. So we'll see how the Predators respond to that tonight. John, I mean, every game this time of year is a big game. When the Predators have been on the streak that they're on, I mean, all of them are big. I do feel like there's a little bit of, oh my gosh, a big measuring stick tonight for the Predators. And while I understand the thought process behind that, like, they've had a few of these. I mean, the Winnipeg was the same thing. On the road in Winnipeg, they won the game. Colorado, pretty big measuring stick game. They won the game. You know, Vegas on the road early in this streak was a big game. They won the game. So, like, I think there's, like, a thought tonight. Like, if the Predators go on the road to Florida and they lose, it's like, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if they're ready for the big boys in the league. And it's like, well, guys, they've been doing this for a month now at this point. So, I'm not saying tonight's game isn't big. I just, for whatever reason, it feels like there's a lot of emphasis being put on this game tonight against Florida when they've already responded in these situations many times at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you know, I mean, it's still a grind of a season here, and like on a given night, things happen, right? Now, I do think they probably look at it like a measuring stick. Derek McKenzie just said so.
Sure.
I thought it was interesting, you know, the point he made about games 35 through 60. You know, that does seem like the most likely place to, you know, the cliche hitting the wall, you know, especially for some of these young players. And now obviously they're past that and into the adrenaline of, you know, they're chasing the postseason and all that. But I think they go out tonight and lose 5-2. I don't really change how I feel about how they're playing or what they could do here. But I think for their confidence, it would be a good thing to win or be right there with a team that probably as much as anyone right now, I mean, I think they're as much a contender as anyone in the league right now to win this thing.
If I had to pick one team in the league right now that I think has the best chance to win, it would be them. Like, I think they're playing really well. They've got no weakness when it comes to their game. And I look, it's going to be a big challenge for the Predators tonight. I mean, you know, they're a better team than Winnipeg is, in my opinion. But Predators did go into Winnipeg, albeit without Mark Scheifele, and won that game. This is no doubt going to be a huge test for them. I thought there was a chance the other day, and we were talking about this at the morning skate, against San Jose where they could have gone Lankinen. And in retrospect, I mean, they hung up 8 goals. I kind of wish they would have gone Lankinen because right now I don't know when the next time he's going to play is going to be. I'm sure they have a back-to-back coming up here at some point. But right now I think you're going to see a lot of UC Saros. And I think a really big test for him and the defense tonight. I mean, they have, to their credit, played really well defensively, and now the injuries have started to pile up. And this is not really the team that you want 3 of your defensemen to be out of the lineup against tonight as you take on the Florida Panthers. So this is going to be, I think, a huge challenge for Saros and for the defense corps tonight to see how they respond to it.
Yeah, no doubt. This is, and even, you know, like the way the Preds play, you know, this is a team that can flip it on you, obviously, you know, when you make mistakes. But then obviously, like you said, in the D zone with the D-core, that you would think that would be, would make things more difficult and would put a little bit more pressure on Saros. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, they can come through those injuries, win a game like this on the road. What does that say?
Joe, a good result for them last night, I guess, depending on how you look at it. So LA wins, which is not good, but Minnesota loses. So I always kind of have the philosophy of, you know, worry about making the playoffs first, and then you can worry about what the seeding is. So last night, in terms of worrying about making the playoffs first, was a good night for the Predators. Minnesota gets beat 6-0 against LA. Now, LA and Vegas are kind of battling it out right now for who's going to be that third spot in the Pacific Division, and the Preds are ahead of both of them right now. So, like, if Vegas caught LA, then it was LA and the Predators battling it out for wild card 1 or 2. You still want to try to stay ahead of LA. So right now you're only 1 point ahead of the Kings. So you may have, maybe some of the Predators fans were rooting for the Wild last night. I don't know. But I would rather just let's keep as much distance as possible between the Wild and the Blues right now. Worry about making the playoffs. And once you feel pretty good about that, then you can start to worry about the seeding part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty clear line of demarcation there, you know, with the top 8 teams. And then you have that 8-point drop to the Wild from the Preds, at least. 7-point drop from the Kings. You know, the thing is, too, like wild card 1, wild card 2, I mean, I don't know who. I mean, Jets, Avs, you got Canucks sitting there with 94, Jets and Avs with 93 points. Well, shoot, Jets, Avs, and Stars.
Yep.
So you don't even know who the heck you would play anyway, you know? So it's just about getting in, and who knows what the matchup could be. It could be any of those basically 4 teams.
Well, that's a big result for the Preds, too, in terms of you got 1 game in hand on Minnesota now as well. So even if like if you go tonight and you lose in regulation to Florida, you've got still an 8-point cushion with the same amount of games played with Minnesota. So a big result for you on that standpoint last night. If you're able to win, if you win tonight, then you're 10 points up on the Wild and you're drawn even in games played. And the Wild at that point with 12 games left, starting to run out of time. So it's a huge opportunity, not only for the litmus test and to see how you stack up against one of the league's best teams, but if you win the game tonight, I mean, you're in good shape. You're 10 points up on Minnesota. I think St. Louis plays tonight, and who do they play against? They play against Ottawa, so St. Louis should win. We'll see what happens there. But you're in pretty good spot tonight if you can win this game against Florida. You'd be double digits up on the Wild with 12 games left to play.
So in this rigged Stilly win that Chase rigged yesterday, Stilly claimed that he thinks that this team is a better contender for the Stanley Cup than the, you know, 16, 17, 18 version of the Preds. What say you on that assessment?
The 17 version of the Preds got to the Stanley Cup final, and the 18 version of the Preds won the President's Trophy.
Won the President's Trophy. Yeah.
So I'm going to probably disagree with that. But,
yeah,
I mean, yeah. Look, everybody, and we've talked about this many times, the 17 Preds who got to the Cup final were a much better team than they displayed in the regular season. PK got hurt for a while. I think he missed, you know, a handful of games with a back injury. They had some injuries down the stretch. They didn't play as well as they should have. And then they all figured it out toward the end of the year and got rolling in the playoffs. But heading into that year, I remember it because, I mean, they had just come off a Game 7 loss in the second round to San Jose. They made the PK Subban move for Shea Weber. There were a lot of people picking the Predators to win the Cup or at least to get to the Cup final the year they did it. This is not that. I mean, this is a different thing. Now, look, I've said it. We've talked about it throughout this streak. If you tell me that this is the version of the Nashville Predators we're going to see in the playoffs, then they got a shot. I mean, if they play like this, they're going to have a shot. No, it's going to be harder to play like this consistently in the playoffs in a 7-game series against really, really, really good teams, which is what they're going to see in the first round. But if they play like this, then they're going to give some teams some problems. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, my point was, I think that the D-core was probably the best in the league at that point.
For sure.
Like Ryan Ellis still healthy, Ekholm, Subban, and Yossi. And, also I would argue this is an interesting, I actually will give him credit for this was a good, he said, who would you take as your center? Johansson, that version of him, or Ryan O'Reilly? And I said, I would take Johansson, that version, because it's easy to forget what he was, especially like against Taves in that series, right?
Great.
But, Ryan O'Reilly is absolutely a winner and has been a fantastic, addition. Think back to like the acquisitions last summer and how they've worked. I mean, Barry Trotz has done pretty well here.
He's done very well. And we're going to get a little bit more into that in the 7 o'clock hour in terms of what this all kind of tells us about the path they're on, not only this year, but moving forward in terms of, is this going to be the combo, Trotz and Brunette, that gets them to a championship? And we'll get into that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. Tournament time. We know what Joe Rexroads is going to be. It's a big day for Joe Rexroads. We'll get more into that coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It's that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe Rexroad, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
All right, my best. I mean, it's really heating up in NASCAR, guys. It is really. No, I'm just kidding. All due respect to NASCAR.
Big stuff in Bristol last weekend.
Yeah, all due respect to all of their sports. This is, like I said earlier, I'm looking at, let me count it up. Yeah, I'm looking at, a 19-hour day and four straight basketball games here, and I am the child on Christmas morning who believes he's getting the bike from Santa, or, maybe like when I got the Atari 2600 in 1982. I mean, that was an amazing Christmas. That's what this day is to me, the start of the NCAA tournament. So that's my best. My worst is Greg Sankey. I don't feel like I've ripped Greg Sankey enough. I feel like I've been a little easy on Greg Sankey here on the program. We've gone through all the things with him, and now I asked Izzo the question yesterday, and then people got mad at him with his response. Which honestly, I would have rather heard Izzo dunk on Greg Sankey like everybody should be. And I understand that Greg Sankey is not working alone. It's just like when we get mad at Roger Goodell, he's doing the bidding of the owners, right? Sankey is the guy out taking the hits, and he's working for the people who are his partners, and he's dictated by television people for sure. But we can't let him ruin this tournament. Let's all keep that in mind. Let's all work together to not let him do it.
Greg, your daily attack is complete here on the program.
There we go.
Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
For a second there, I really thought Joe was going to be, he said that he was excited as the first day Pong became like a thing on I'm trying to think of like that really old video game that had like just the two sides and one ball. So,
well, I mean, like Pong was its own standalone thing. I'm a little young for that. For the record.
I actually have a younger reference for Joe Rexroad.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about that?
My best and worst this week. Last night, Vanderbilt women. Good to see that they won on the hardwood in their first of four, I believe. So, look, Jake Lyman and I have talked about them all season long, and it's been fun to watch them play, honestly. So, kudos over there for them, for sure. And
took down the Fighting Kuharskis.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I would say the worst in sports, for me at least, it was tougher for me to think of one this week, but I think just some of the rule changes that are starting to come down in the NHL, I'm interested to see how some of them play off. There wasn't one that I hated, but I'm interested to see how they treat some of these reviews. The more we need is reviews, right? I mean, I don't like how much time is wasted with some of that stuff. Hopefully it's not a waste of time when things are implemented. So I'm curious to see if high sticking is called more often, if things are looked at like that more often. Hopefully not, because I feel like it's just going to be dumb, but that's certainly not something I'm as excited for. There were a lot of small changes, but that's not one I'm very just looking forward to. So
my best thing is the Preds, the streak they're on, 15 in a row. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and we'll see if they can keep it going tonight against Florida. But, you know, I was talking about this with a buddy the other day, Joe, and I think I know the answer. But his question was like, when were the last time it was this much fun to watch the Predators play? And I think it has to be President's Trophy year, but I think that's it. Like, I think you go back all the way there to the President's Trophy year when they were this much fun to play. And that's beyond just like the obvious connection of the winning streak, but it's just the way that they're playing and the results that they're able to generate. Like, I think the President's Trophy year, and really that whole year was. It wasn't just the streak that they had where they were 14-0-1. That whole year, they were a lot of fun to watch play. That's where I'm going back to, that year.
I'm with you. I mean, even like the very next year, I mean, they won the division. It was the beginning of, it's not good enough. No net front presence, you know, trade for a bunch of dudes. I mean, it was sort of the beginning of discontent, right? I mean, it hasn't been this fun since the President's Trophy year.
My worst thing in sports, and we'll see maybe a little bit of reverse psychology I'm throwing into this, see how they respond today. Tennessee against Mississippi State last week was so concerning to me in the SEC tournament, and it's got me a little nervous heading in this week. I'll be honest with you, Joe. Watching that game and watching it play out the way that it did, and obviously, you know, Vol Twitter of Rick Barnes in terms of just the way that things went in that game and how out of it they were right from the start. In some ways, it makes me think maybe that's a good thing where you reset heading into the tournament. In other ways, makes me very nervous as tournament play begins today, thinking back to how they just got absolutely punked against Mississippi State.
I get that. I do. And when it comes down to it, it has to be a good thing. Or they're just too feeble, mentally feeble to believe in. You know, they need to suck it up and use that and just come out and play their game. And if they do, they're going to be playing next weekend in Detroit. I mean, there's absolutely – it would be a huge letdown in their baseline performance for them not to get out of this weekend. But, yeah, this tournament also does crazy things to people who are playing in it.
JD says the best is the NCAA tournament. The worst, taking a shot at Jeff Fisher's Nashville Cats commercial. I enjoy it. I enjoy Jeff Fisher's Nashville Cats commercial. So calm down, JD. You leave Jeff Fisher alone. He does a good job on that commercial.
I mean, I enjoy it.
Why would you not? It's Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, he's doing everything, man.
He is.
Everything that franchise needs, he is doing it.
He's in there.
That's right. That's right.
Chris.
We have other commercials you should, you know, but I won't identify them that you could also have more of a problem with, but I won't identify them.
Chris on the text line says the best thing in sports, and with the radio in the parentheses, all the little hate jabs Jared throws at Joe. The last one being, quote, we moved everything on today's show to make time for Joe to go to a press conference he probably won't write anything about. That was last night before Jared versus Joe, apparently.
Aw, poor Jared. Yes, I'm sure he takes his shots. Well, we take some shots at him, but ours are in love. You know, I think Jared maybe, you know, sometimes he may have a little bitterness, and that's okay.
Right. Ron on the text line says, where was that? Yeah, Ron on the text line says, good morning, guys. Best team in Kentucky plays tomorrow, 1 o'clock, tops on top. Taking a shot at the Wildcats.
Yeah, man.
With Keezer's team.
Let's go. Should be a fun one. I'm excited. It's the first time that they've been in a long time. So hopefully,
I'm just glad we're not talking about the Bailey Zappi and Tim Tebow today when we're talking about the NCAA tournament.
Why wouldn't you want to talk about them? They're phenomenal athletes.
I mean, Tebow in the post, you know, the lefty hook. I mean, I can see it.
He played baseball, so I mean, I'm sure he.
That's
could,
true.
I'm sure he could have played some basketball at some point and been
big
okay.
Big time Mets prospect.
Yeah.
So, do you think your toppers are going to win there, Keezer?
No, I think the best they could do is maybe steal a game or two. That's what I think.
Well, that's what that would be winning.
Well, that's what I just said. I mean, they're playing a two seed to start, so you know the best they could do is steal a game or two. Then that's a massive, massive win.
Yeah, there's no question about it for sure. I mean, they've made some noise before, so we'll have to find out.
Zach in Nashville says the best Jared on the same show banging the table for quarterback wins is a stat, but saying Mason Rudolph sucks even though he's 8-4-1. The Stillmantics, which is a great word by the way, are always entertaining. Worst, the NFL fooling themselves thinking they can properly officiate the hip drop tackle rule. They're getting after the hip drop tackle. Apparently, maybe a 15-yard penalty coming up.
Stillmantics
is pretty
goodness,
good.
That is fantastic. Yeah, the hip drop tackle is interesting, man. Obviously, it can cause injury.
Sure.
Right? I mean, so it needs to be called when, you know, basically when it's like egregious or people get hurt. Ah, it's a tough one, man. You know, that to take that out. I mean, obviously when they took out the, you know, when T.O. got hurt and they took out the word's eluding me, you know, the high pull down from
horse collar
behind. Yes. Yeah, so that was a gimme. Obvious, right? Like this one's not as obvious. This is an interesting discussion.
Now you can't horse collar. You can't hit him in the head. You can't hit him too low. And now you can't hip drop. Tough time to be a tackler in the league.
You know, just look at the waist, wrap them up, and take them to the ground. That's all you got to do. Very simple.
Very simple. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your best things and worst things throughout the show. We'll get back into the Preds coming up next. Throw it out there about Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette. What have we learned about that duo? Is this going to be the duo that gets the Predators into championship contention? We'll get into that. Take your thoughts. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.